Okay, hi, my name is Dina Jennings. I'm 55 years old and I live in Nason's, Virginia, Orange County. And I'm talking today with yet another original Thankster, someone who joined us last year, 2018, in November for the Afrolation On Time Music Gathering. And today I'm being joined by one of my friends. I'm going to let him tell you his name. What's your name?
My name is Justin Harrington.
All right, Justin. And what's your date of birth?
My date of birth is February 25th, 1998. I just turned 21 about a week ago.
Great. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And where's your place of birth?
I was born in Greensboro, North Carolina. That's where I live to this day.
Okay. All right. So, as I said, my name is Dina Jennings. I'm talking with Justin Harrington. He's from Greensboro, North Carolina. And how would you self-identify, Justin?
I'd self-identify as a black man, for sure. A rapper. Uh-huh. A lyricist, if I may.
Okay, great. And why did you agree to do this interview today?
I'm just in full support of the work that you do and anything involving any Thankster is something I want to be a part of.
Right, thanks. And so, do you know a lot about your ancestors, like where they were born and how they came to this country, to this land?
Unfortunately, I don't know that much about my ancestry. The furthest back that we've been able to trace is to who we call Great Aunt Savory, who was on a plantation in Mebane. The records that we found before, if you try to look past that, there aren't names. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to figure out.
Okay, and where is Mebane?
Mebane, it's about an hour away from Greensboro. It's in North Carolina, so it's kind of a rural area.
Okay, and so I'm sorry, did you mention that she was an enslaved person?
Yes, okay. Unfortunately, yes, she was.
All right. And so do you know anything about any other, like the other side of your family or any of their ancestry?
I don't. I know I've got my mom's dad is a white guy, and I know his family goes back to Scotland. Mm-hmm. But other than that, my people have pretty much been in North Carolina the whole time with various escapades to other countries and stuff. But we started here, and we've still got a lot of our roots here.
Okay, great. So let's talk a little bit about the music that you heard in your childhood. Where did you hear most of the music of your childhood?
I heard most of the music of my childhood in the backseat of a car while my dad was playing various records for me. But as I got a little bit older, around, I'd say I was probably 9, 10, mm-hmm. I started going with my aunt to various contra dances and square dances and sitting down with this absolute legend by the name of Joe Thompson and learning a little bit when she would take me to go meet with him. And kind of all over the place, but mostly like in a car on the way to school or on the way to the different towns in North Carolina.
Okay. And what kind of instruments did you hear played? I mean, we know Joe Thompson played banjo. What other instruments did you hear played?
Well, my grandpa plays the guitar and my aunt plays the banjo and the fiddle. But most of my family are vocalists, so they're singers. So my grandpa would play the guitar as well as sing. My mom is an excellent singer. Mm-hmm. On my dad's side, most of my people are in choirs and stuff like that. So I kind of always looked at the vocal box as its own instrument, you know?
Okay. And so you've mentioned your aunt a couple of times. Who is your aunt?
My aunt is Rhian Giddens.
Oh, okay. Right. And you've also mentioned your mom. Is your mom involved in the arts?
Yeah, definitely. She's an actress who does a lot of theater in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. We all actually went and did a show in Chicago not so long ago because I'm an actor myself.
Okay.
As well as a musician. But my mom, yeah, she does a jazz night at the O. Henry, which is a really, really nice hotel in Greensboro. She has a great jazz band that plays with her. And she's actually done a whole album with my aunt. I forgot about that.
Oh, neat. And what instruments do you play?
I play the banjo, I play the bones, and I rap and sing a little bit here and there.
Okay, great. And so you rap as well.
I'm very good at the triangle, by the way.
At the triangle, great. We always need more triangle.
Definitely.
So you're a rapper as well. So you have a blend of two really unique genres that most people wouldn't think of blending. How did you come to that?
Well, it started in waves, I guess. Mm-hmm. When I first started rapping, I never really combined the two, but I would listen to rap while I was at folk music festivals and stuff like that. You know, so they were always present with each other. But mm-hmm. then my aunt and I worked on a couple songs where I would rap over her banjo playing, but yeah. I never thought about, I had obviously thought about playing the banjo and rapping at the same time, mm-hmm. but I had never taken it very seriously until I just finished my last album, All Henry, which is where we like sampled banjo playing, we put it all together. So it was a really recent thing for me, actually, because I didn't know how well it would work or how well it would be received.
Oh, yeah. And how is it being received?
Phenomenally. My peer group, people my age are, you know, they're taking their time to try to get it. It's really something that you got to see live, in my opinion. Yeah. But people are loving it. I've had some really sweet things said about the album, so I couldn't be happier with it.
And you mentioned you have a new album, Oh Henry. Is the name of it?
Yeah, yes, definitely on all streaming platforms right now.
Oh, nice. So when you think about the music of your childhood and the music that might have influenced you in your own musical career, can you think of a song that just sort of stays with you or that pops into your head? Or would you mind singing a little bit of it for us now?
Yeah, for some reason, Whipping Post has been stuck in my head. My grandma used to play that.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites. Can you sing a bit of that or any other song from your childhood?
I would be honored to.
Okay.
I don't know if I'll be able to do, you know, the kind of the epic drum line, but
that's all right.
You know, like I've been side to the whipping post, side pew, to the whipping post. I can't do the drop any justice, but that song always puts me in an element for sure.
It does for me too. I absolutely love that song. Because sometimes you feel like you've been tied to that whipping post.
Yeah. The banjo remix coming soon, so keep your eye out.
All right. So when you think about Afrolatchin, what does that mean to you? What does that phrase Afrolatchin, what does it mean to you and why is it important?
Afrolatchin, to me, kind of represents the atmosphere and the energy surrounding the music of the people of color in my area, which is, it's funny, I've never actually used the word Afrolatchin before, because I've always kind of just considered the Appalachian area to be Afrolatchin, I guess.
Right.
But, it means just acknowledging the immense, you know, musical and cultural history that has been around here, and that has shaped a lot of elements of American culture and American music, and even beyond, you know, our national borders. I think it is just a really beautiful area geographically as well as musically, you know, and a lot of beautiful people and a lot of beautiful stories. So I guess what Afrolatchin means to me is I had the feeling of nostalgia, I guess.
Yeah.
At home.
And so when you hear the word on-time music, and that's a phrase that we've been kind of kicking around as thangsters looking at this Afrolatchin on-time music gathering. When you hear on-time music in any genre, what does that mean to you? And what does it feel like when you hear music that's on time?
Okay. On-time music is, I think, a really fun term, first off, because when I talk to my friends about the kind of music that I play and I grow up with, old-time music, you know what I mean? There's always a connotation that comes with that. And I think to call something old-time is to say that it exists in the past. But I think that we are great examples of the fact that it's not in the past, it's here.
Right.
As we all are. And so I guess the feeling that comes with hearing on-time music is like something very satisfying, like popping bubble wrap or eating some food that you can't even use the word. There are no words that come to mind to describe the feeling, but the look on your face says everything. Your expression says everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I feel it. I hear what you're saying here. Yeah. So can you tell me a fond memory of someone who may have taught you, either directly or indirectly, that concept of affirmation on time, music, or dance?
For sure. Someone who taught me about it. I mean, I think that, yes, I can. I was gonna talk about my aunt, but there's a man named Hubby Jenkins, who I looked up to for a lot of my childhood. He was a member of the Carolina Taco Drops, as well as my aunt's band later on. But he's this guy from New York, you know, and it was just like, how did you figure out about it? So his love for the music and the culture was so pure to me, just because he didn't grow up in it. You know what I mean? Like, he found it. He's really the one who taught me how to play bones, and he taught me my favorite banjo tune ever, called Oh My Little Darling. He taught me that, and he was a kind of a role model for me in just knowing that, like, yeah, like, this music is for everyone. You know what I mean? And it was just kind of like, yeah, there is beauty that expands just beyond the South. And the impact that it can have on people's lives, no matter where you are, was important. And I think Hubby was definitely one of the first ones to show me that. That's so awesome. Shout out to Hubby Jenkins.
Yeah, awesome. Wow. So how do you see yourself benefiting from or contributing to the legacy of Afrolashian on-time music?
I think I've benefited already immensely, because identity is really big, or struggles with identity are really big in my peer group right now, and I think that this culture and this movement and this music has shaped what has become my own identity. And I'll always be grateful for that. It put me in a place where I felt comfortable with more than just my musical taste. It's just like, yeah, you are valid and you are beautiful just for being you.
Yeah.
And so I would like to contribute to this by creating more moments like that for people like me who needed it, because I definitely needed it. And to just challenge, you know, because I think that just thinking critically and having an open mind and being ready to talk to people that you disagree with about things you might not agree on. I think that's really important. And on-time music is going to link people of, you know, opposite cultures. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
I just want to contribute to the conversations and the moments in time that shape people's lives. And I want to create as many of those as possible.
That's great. Well, you certainly have so far. There was nothing at the thing quite like the Bones Challenge between you and Joe Seaman. That was just amazing.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was great. So, of course, we met last year, 2018, in the fall. We're going to meet again this year. And we're really looking forward to you coming along. Are you going to be joining us?
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm trying to get a little group of people that can come, if that's all right.
Oh yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that would be really good. So, absolutely. I thank you for being a part of this whole movement, for being an original thankster, taking the time out to spend time with us, and to do this interview today. Is there anything else? Yeah, is there anything else you'd like to tell us before we go?
Not specifically. Anyone who comes across this interview, I just want you to know that this woman, Dina Jennings, is creating powerful and stimulating conversations and experiences for people that they wouldn't have without someone like her doing what she does. So I'm very grateful for you, and I hope that whoever comes across this interview takes it upon themselves to, you know what I mean, try to get in a room with you, because I think it would do a lot, for sure.
Oh, shucks. Thanks. All right, Justin, thank you so much. We're going to close out the interview, and hopefully many, many people for many, many years to come will get to hear your wise words.
Hey, I hope so too. I hope it doesn't mess anybody up.
All right, you take care now.
Yeah.
Okay, we made it, and it actually recorded everything. That was an awesome, awesome interview. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. I think it's kind of funny that you literally had to go back and get it.
I did. What made it so bad is I had a backup for myself, a whole system to back up, and I didn't turn it on. So I didn't even have my backup. But honestly, this was a great interview as well. So we're in good shape.
Awesome. Well, good luck with the rest of the interviews.
Okay, thanks. You take care now.
Yeah, you too.
Bye.